We had a lively interest in whatever the administration was doing with respect to church and state.
This is something that we fought hard for.
Religious liberty is one of the hallmarks and part of the bedrock of American democracy.
We at the BJC like to say when anyone's religious liberty is threatened, everyone's religious liberty is at risk. Welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. I'm Amanda Tyler, the Executive Director of the BJC, and I'm here today with BJC General Counsel Holly Holman. Today, we're going to be talking about the latest religious liberty case headed to the Supreme Court. It's a debate over a 40-foot cross in the middle of a highway in Maryland. So welcome, Holly.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this case, I thought it might be helpful for our listeners to talk a little bit about the factual background and what this cross really looks like and its physical surroundings. This is a religious display case, but it's really different than any one that we've been involved in before. It's a huge cross on government land. Its history, which is now nearly 100 years old, is a mixture of public and private actions. The cross was first dedicated in 1925 in Bladensburg, Maryland. That's just outside D.C., only about a 15-minute drive from our offices here on Capitol Hill. The American Legion, a veterans group, led the effort to erect the cross, which honored 49 local men who died in World War I. And I think it's pretty fair to say that since 1925, the area has grown and changed around it. In the 1960s, ownership was transferred to the Maryland National Capital Parks and Planning Commission, which has paid for maintenance and repairs of the cross. It's a 40-foot-tall concrete cross, and it's literally on a small island where busy roads converge. It's striking, and it's really hard to miss. So why are we talking about this cross? It's at the Supreme Court now. It's actually two cases that came to the court, and they've been combined and are going under one case name at the court, the American Legion versus American Humanist Association. That's a lot to put in a URL. So at BJC, you can find a lot of information on this at bjconline.org/crosscase. But Holly, can you give us a sense now that we've got the history of this behind, but how did we get here to this part in the courts? What's the legal and procedural history?
Well, as you rightly describe, it's sort of the striking Christian symbol on government land in the middle of a roadway, and it's been there. And a few people challenged it. That's how cases, you know, eventually worked their way through the courts. Some local residents of the area in Maryland that regularly encountered the cross as they do their regular commute challenged this as a violation of the Constitution, the religious liberty promise of our Constitution. And the case worked its way through the federal district court and then up to the appellate court, where the Fourth Circuit indeed held that the display and the maintenance of this cross on public land was a violation of the Establishment Clause. The court accepted the plain religious message of the cross, as we all know, tied to the story that's so familiar to Christians and others, to the life of Christ and death and resurrection. The court saw that and rejected the argument that this cross did not convey some predominantly religious message. And then the American Legion and this governmental entity that was also involved in the case took it up to the Supreme Court. So now the Supreme Court will review the case and determine its fate.
So since it's gotten some more national attention, certainly when the Supreme Court took it, what kind of response has this case generated? Who cares about this case?
Well, clearly veterans groups care, given this particular history of this cross and how it's been perceived, at least historically. It's complicated history that you talked about at the beginning. But as the case works its way up through the courts, obviously more people pay attention. And it raised a good question. Why is this cross there, and should it be? What does it mean, and what role does the government have in displaying the preeminent symbol of Christianity? What possible meaning could that have, and what possible role could government have in doing that? So now at the Supreme Court, there are some other church-state groups, religious liberty groups involved, in addition to governmental entities and many veterans groups.
And, of course, because this is a church-state case, the BJC has gotten involved and has decided to file in a friend of the court or amicus brief in the case. Can you give us some words about what is our position at the BJC about this case?
Sure. You described it as a religious display case, and that is true when we say different kind of categories of church-state disputes that come up through the Supreme Court that have been litigated in the past. The court, though, has never heard a case like this where the government has displayed the preeminent, exclusively Christian symbol in this way. And so the question for the BJC is, you know, what does this mean for religious liberty? Can the government do this? Under what theory could do that? And of course, we are very interested in maintaining government that is neutral toward religion, that doesn't pick and choose between faiths, and that allows religious people and faith communities to promote their own symbols and to hold government accountable, to stay out of religious disputes. The Baptist Joint Committee's involvement in this case is actually very targeted. As a Christian group that supports religious liberty for all, we are addressing an argument made that says the cross is a symbol for veterans, for war dead. It has fallen to us to say, no, that's not correct. The cross is a Christian symbol that cannot be denied, and the government does not have any right or position in advancing that.
So you're saying, I just want to make sure I get this right and that our listeners hear this, are there Christian groups on the other side of this case, and what are the arguments that they're making in this case about what the cross means?
Interestingly, most of those who are arguing to maintain this display deny the plain meaning of the cross.
And what did they say instead?
They call this a cross-shaped memorial. They say that it is a symbol of universal valor or sacrifice. In fact, the party's briefs, the Legion and the Maryland entity that are fighting to maintain this cross on public land, never mention Jesus except in referring to the Fourth Circuit's opinion, and instead say that it is a predominantly secular, objectively secular symbol. It's really remarkable, the arguments that they make, and the fact that more Christian groups aren't out there saying, wait a minute, you can't do that. I think, of course, you know, many of them aren't as closely involved in cases, may not have thought about it that way. And of course, there's a gut reaction to symbols and people holding very strong to their symbols. But on reflection, I really believe that most Christians would not want to see the government taking symbols that are so important to them and the message of their faith and redefining them and asserting that they just stand for all people or for all veterans. Really, what's interesting about the case is if you look at the government's position in this case and the Legion's position, if they say the cross is just for the war dead, well, they're either assuming that all the war dead are Christian, and we know that's not true, that veterans serve our country from all different faiths and from no faith, or they're saying that the preeminent symbol of Christianity can honor non-Christians. And that's a problematic assertion for those people of other faiths.
So our brief really is arguing that the cross is a religious symbol, right?
That's true. It is a uniquely religious symbol.
And how is our brief unique from others, you know, who come out at the same place, that saying that this cross, the government sponsorship of this cross, is an establishment of religion? How is our argument unique from their briefs?
Well, I think it's clear to many people that non-Christians, that Jewish war veterans or Muslims, people of minority faiths or of no faith, would not want to see a Christian symbol being used to honor all war dead. And so there will be briefs filed on behalf of minority religious groups. There'll be briefs filed on minority veterans groups. And our brief is written for the Baptist Joint Committee, but also the American Jewish Committee. It's a Christian Jewish brief to make the point specifically in response to the other side about the cross and its meaning and the command of the Establishment Clause, of the First Amendment, for the government not to pick and choose between religions. So our brief is distinct in that way, in that we're talking about the cross's meaning, and it's tied to Scripture that describes the life of Jesus, death of Jesus, and the resurrection, which of course explains how the cross has come to be used often in cemeteries or associated with death. The cross for Christians is a sign of life beyond death, of God's gift of love and life over sin and beyond any temporal existence, right? And so our brief focuses a little bit more on that core idea than other briefs in the case.
Now, I know you and our Associate General Counsel, Jennifer Hawks, have been working on this brief with Douglas Laycock, who is a law professor and a renowned church-state expert. You know, can you give us a sense of how this case fits into the larger church-state picture and definition of religious liberty at the Supreme Court?
Yes, we are honored to work again with Professor Laycock, who's known the BJC a long time and who does excellent work in articulating for us in this case the importance of the religion clauses and the commitment for government to stay out of religious disputes, to be picking between Christian and Jewish and other symbols. We have briefs being filed that are arguing for different standards under the Establishment Clause that we believe would harm religious liberty. So this case is really important to make sure that this court still stands by that principle that the government does not pick and choose between religions and sponsor religious messages. So it's a very important case, and again, different from other cases like even the Ten Commandments cases that we've seen in the past, because this clearly represents one religious tradition, one religious message, and we are looking for a decision from the court that would uphold that principle and ensure government neutrality, at least between different religious traditions.
So we know, even though this case is about one particular cross, its ramifications, the decision will really tell us a lot about how this court is going to be considering Establishment Clause down the road. As far as this particular cross, you know, if the court decides to go with our analysis on this case, does it necessarily mean, as some might argue, that they have to take this cross down?
The court will not rule in a way that removes all religion from the public square. The court will not rule in a way, and we have not asked the court to rule in a way, that says no cross could ever be on government-owned property. Most clearly, we should note that crosses are often in government-sponsored cemeteries where they are reflected on individual headstones, as well as other religious symbols that are chosen by people before they die or their families in their honor to mark the religious identity of someone who is buried and whose grave is marked in a government-owned cemetery.
So the key difference there seems to be, did the individual choose this symbol? Is this the individual reflecting their religious faith, or is this the government imposing a religious symbol for an entire community?
Right. The question in this case is whether the government can select a religious symbol and post it on public land in honor of all veterans. And that is quite a different question from whether individual families can have a religious marker on their gravestone, which of course they can.
And the danger for the government imposing a religious symbol on an entire group of people, to me, seems to be the divisiveness that comes from that. The idea that to be a full American, you have to be Christian or you're necessarily Christian.
Well, I think divisiveness is certainly one of the concerns of the religion clauses. It was something that the founders were concerned about. By taking government out of the religion business, it left room for religion to flourish on its own and for people to have their different religious views and sponsor their churches, you know, those who attended them, who gave to them, you know, to get the government out of that business. I think that people are concerned with divisiveness. Now, should the court keep something up that is unconstitutional just because they're afraid of divisiveness? That's a harder question. That was at least one concern in the Van Orden case where Justice Breyer's opinion noted that the Ten Commandments display at the time had been there for a really long time. Similarly, this cross has been there for a long time. Our brief addresses that by saying, it would certainly be divisive for a government to put up a cross today and say that it stood for veterans. And thankfully, I don't think many government entities would do that. At the same time, it may be divisive for this particular religious establishment to come down because of its complicated history and how long it's been there. And so the court could decide to grandfather this display, but write a strong opinion that says that it is a religious establishment, that it is only there as a historic memorial, and in that way prevent further fights like this, ensure that it's no invitation to political entities to pick and choose among religious symbols and to promote them and, in fact, co-opt them.
What if the court went in a different direction in finding no establishment here and really went with the other side's argument that this isn't a cross, it's just a cross-shaped memorial. It just has a generic meaning that's devoid of any kind of religious meaning. What's the danger of the court doing that?
Well, one, it's extremely offensive to people of faith whose symbols do reflect important values to them. It is a release to the government of the duty that we all have to speak for ourselves in matters of religion, and it opens the door for a lot of other mischief. The political use of religion is always a temptation for those in office, right? And so it could lead to further denigration of religion in the public square and considerably change our country as far as the promise that we are a country that treats all people the same without regard to religion and that keeps government out of religious disputes.
And you brought up the Ten Commandments cases. More than 10 years ago, the Supreme Court took two different Ten Commandments cases and came out differently on them and essentially said in some situations, it's okay for a government-sponsored display of the Ten Commandments to remain and that that's not an establishment of religion. How is this case different? Why does the reasoning of those cases not control? What is the new question here for the court?
Well, remarkably, the petitioners argue that while the Ten Commandments are clearly tied to their religious roots in Scripture, that the cross is not, that they really claim the cross is just a generic symbol for death and or valor or something to do with the war dead, which is remarkable. As we know, the Ten Commandments have been used in different settings to represent law or ancient legal codes. They are found in what we refer to as the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, so many argue that they are important to Jewish people as well as Christians, and so they have a kind of wider appeal. As we all know, half the Ten Commandments deal with things that are normally protected in secular law. You know, those are the commandments not to steal and to cheat and to murder. So there's much more argument that there could be secular reasons to display the Ten Commandments, although we would say that's still problematic for the government to choose religious texts and to post them or sponsor them. There are at least more arguments for the Ten Commandments to be used in a particular context that could be seen as secular than there are the cross. There is no other meaning of the cross, and even if you scour the briefs on the other side, they don't come up with anything to explain why you would use the cross to represent someone who has died, other than it is tied to, we know, it's the preeminent symbol of Christianity, tied to the essential story of our faith about Jesus's life and death and resurrection.
So what would you say to people who say, you know, the court, in order to save the cross, the court must necessarily, you know, uphold this government establishment that they must find for the American Legion in this case?
I don't think it's fair to say those who are fighting for this display are for the cross. If you see the arguments being made, you'll find that they have nothing to do with the cross in the way that most people see it, as tied to an essential Christian story. And in fact, this is doing great damage to the Christian witness as symbolized in that cross.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Holly. And for our listeners who'd like to take a deeper dive on this, they can read our entire brief, which I really recommend, on our website. The oral arguments for the cross case at the Supreme Court will be on Wednesday, February 27th, and the BJC will be there. We'll share photos on our social media channels that day. And to check out additional information about the case, including the brief, visit a special page on our website, bjconline.org/crosscase. Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts from the BJC, visit bjconline.org/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes channel.